Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we're back. And Vera in Garfield pledges 50, and Roger in Illinois pledges 200. Thank you, Vera. Thank you, Roger. The numbers are 888-677-9673. Pastors Mighty Men are standing by to take your call. Credit card number is 888-281-1110. Here, we're going to play a clip, folks. Now, Mike McCormick was a former White House stenographer who worked with Joe Biden. He claimed in an interview with Alex Jones that Biden used damaging information to manipulate Barack Obama. McCormick alleges that Biden threatened to expose Obama's supposed homosexual affairs unless certain conditions were met. Wielding this information is a tool for public leverage. Mike McCormick is a former White House stenographer who worked closely with Joe Biden every day during his tenure as vice president. In the role, McCormick was responsible for accurately describing or transcribing speeches, meetings, and other communications involving Biden and other government officials. His first-hand experience provided him with intimate perspective on the operations and inner workings of the Obama regime. So go ahead, Seth, and take it away.
Go to OccupiedFilm.com. You know, in politics, you have to be willing to play dirty if you want to make it to the top. Actually, if you want to make it just about anywhere in politics, you've got to play dirty. You've got to hit below the belt and be willing to make deals and alliances and do things that would certainly compromise the values and the moral compass of a normal, well-adjusted person. But even more so than just playing dirty, if you want to make it in politics, especially in Washington, D.C., you've got to be dirty yourself. You have to be a disgusting and repulsive, depraved person, living a personal life or having a history of shady business deals or a dead hooker in your trunk or a long line of gay lovers that your wife doesn't know about if you want to be a politician. Why do you think so many of the people running this country are drug addicts and pedophiles? Because who else among us is easier to control? You see, these people whose entire lives would be destroyed if their little secrets were let out, they are the ones that occupy Washington. They may even be thrown in prison. Jeffrey Epstein, for instance, thrived off of this. He filled up his plane with underage girls and high-level politicians. He took lots of pictures and videos of high-ranking legislators and bureaucrats and even presidents raping underage girls. He shared them with his Mossad buddies, and then they made them do whatever they wanted. They took ownership of them. You see, that's how this works. So naturally, in a system like this one, to be the president, you would think that at least most of the time, there's got to be some serious dirt on you. And that dirt may be kept by very powerful people, by people inside of your administration, inside of your orbit, directly tied to you, who destroy you at a moment's notice. And that seems to be exactly what happened during the Obama years. It may also explain Joe Biden's rise to the top of the Democrat Party. You know, for a strange group of people as they are, the Democrats have some capable politicians in their ranks. And aside from that, they have some people who are capable of staying up past 8 o'clock or stringing two sentences together or knowing who the vice president is. So it makes you wonder when you look at Joe Biden, how did he get to where he is today besides by way of rigged election? How did this guy possibly maneuver his way through the Democrat political apparatus to the very highest office in the land? Well, one person who may be able to help explain that for us to understand is Mike McCormick, a former White House stenographer who worked extremely close to Joe Biden over the years and who can personally attest to Joe Biden holding blackmail material on Barack Obama. Biden was Obama's vice president. At this point, it's widely accepted that Barack Obama is a homosexual. He's gay. He's had a long string of gay lovers he's gone to great lengths to cover up. And many people say that these gay lovers have ranged from Chicago crack smokers who've ended up dead to the former White House chef that were told drown at Obama's Martha's Vineyard home. When they were in office, Joe Biden knew about Barack Obama's gayness. He used it to his advantage. Mike explained all of this in a recent interview with Alex Jones. Take a look.
Something about Obama that out of his personal life that Obama had to hide. So he makes Biden his vice president. Biden always had this saying about Obama that he told him, I want to be the last guy in the room after everybody leaves when there's a big deal to be done. I want to be the last guy in the room with you. That's probably when Biden told him, okay, because I know this. And if you look at Biden,
and that Obama was sexual.
Yeah, I think that's what he was talking about.
So obviously, Joe Biden was playing dirty. And we know, especially when it comes to being sexually compromised, that Joe Biden is dirty himself. This is a guy whose own daughter says he molested her. Sex abuse and drug addiction have run rampant in the Biden family, so there's plenty that this guy could be on the blackmail hook for. But according to Mike McCormick, his former stenographer, Joe Biden is part of a massive international influence peddling ring worth billions of dollars that includes current members of his administration. People like Jake Sullivan, that little foreign policy creep who managed to cling on to both the Obama and the Biden regimes despite bringing nothing to the table. And now we know why. Because he has the goods on Joe Biden. He's using it as a form of currency.
I went to the FBI and filled out their witness tip line. There's a website. You fill out all these tips, these web directions. I submitted it. If you lie to the FBI when you're submitting a tip like that, you can go to jail. I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth. Joe Biden is lying. Joe Biden is a criminal. That's the bottom line. I don't care if he goes to Timbuktu or Ireland or anywhere. He's a criminal. And I've got the evidence. If they put me in front of the grand jury that's right now seated in Wilmington with Special Prosecutor David Weiss, my testimony becomes the evidence that will put him in jail or will lead to his impeachment, probably lead to his impeachment first.
So you're saying that Joe Biden wasn't going to Ukraine to fight corruption. Joe Biden was going to Ukraine to help the natural gas industry. At the time, he knew that his son was on the board of the biggest natural gas business conglomerate in Ukraine.
That's exactly right. You know, Hunter Biden signed up for this trip. He signed up to be on Burisma on April 18th, 2014. Well, on April 16th, 2014, what I've seen in the laptop was Hunter put a schedule, something on his daily schedule. I'm meeting Devin and Lucas. Lucas, Devin Archer's son. Devin Archer is a fellow Burisma board member at the WH at 11. That's the White House.
Hmm.
There's photos of Devin Archer and his son Lucas in the White House. The cover story was, oh, it's a book report for my son. He's being nice with Joe Biden. That's not what it was. This was a planning meeting for them to start their kickback scheme with Burisma. And there was a lot more planning that went on ahead of it.
Very few people out there know Joe Biden as closely as Mike McCormick does because it was his job to follow him around and record his conversations. Well, now he's blowing the whistle, and he's with us now to share more. Mike, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate having you.
Thanks, Stu. And I would say very few people know Joe Biden as well as I do and are willing to tell the truth about him.
Right, yes.
And that's what I've done.
And what is the truth?
Well, he's an evil man. I mean, I've been saying that. I've written a book about him, the case to impeach and imprison Joe Biden. And I write a Substack, The Midnight and the Laptop of Good and Evil. You know, I worked for Joe Biden and thought he was a reasonable politician. And then in 2021, Marco Polo, Garrett Ziegler with Marco Polo, gave me a copy of the Hunter Biden laptop. And from there, I realized the depth of evil in his life, in Joe Biden's life, and what he brought into the White House. And it was almost insurmountable to think about how broad the conspiracy is. You know, Jake Sullivan, you talked about him. Jake Sullivan is a co-conspirator. He's in the crime. I don't know if he has stuff on Joe Biden. He's part of the gang. So they all sort of are in it together. And so is Barack Obama to some extent. But I think that Joe Biden definitely had, he had background information on Barack Obama. I think he did operative research on Barack Obama starting in 2004 when he did a big speech at the Democratic National Convention. Joe wanted to be the presidential candidate. But Barack Obama flipped the script on him and became the presidential candidate. But he pulled Joe Biden as the vice presidential candidate. They had worked together closely in the previous 4 years on the International Relations, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. And Joe Biden had been the one that put Barack Obama on there. So Joe wanted him close. And then he was offered this vice presidential slot. And he made a statement. He would tell this to audiences all the time. I made the deal with him. I didn't want to be the vice president, but I agreed on two conditions. One, I wouldn't change my brand. I'd be Joe Biden. But also, I'd be the last guy in the room. Well, I think that last guy in the room, at first, it sounded like he was the wise old guy to give him advice. But now it seems like there's a darker side where he was using the leverage of knowledge of Barack Obama's gay lifestyle. And that's what he did. And he got all the choice assignments in the White House because of it.
All right, well, we're back. Debbie in Michigan pledges 200. Tom and Esther pledge in Illinois pledge 100. Thank you, thank you. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Again, 888-281-1110, 888-677-9673. What do you fellas think? We're going to go back to that segment, but before we do, everybody knew that Barack Obama was a sodomite. We talked about that here. We played clips. I actually had some of his those people that, you know, his sodomites.
We had one guy that testified that about his visiting some of the adult men club and who he was sleeping with and everything else. And, I mean, to anybody that paid any attention, it was a known fact, especially if you listen to this program. I mean, we had witnesses and testimonies we gave. Of course, the politicians tried to hide it, but the truth was out there if you were paying attention.
Well, there was the one guy who would, Obama, would be that organizer. He would, actually, he was a drug dealer, and he would drive around in a limousine. And he had the one sodomite with him in the back, and the guy ended up saying he was going to come out. He was going to, you know, come out with the whole story about his relationship. He ended up at room temperature, and I remember because they went to his mother, this man's mother, and said, "Listen, your son is dead," and he was, you know, found with a bullet in his head, and she. No, it was as he was he with Barack Obama, and the mother said, "I don't want to end up like my son, so I'm not saying anything. I keep my mouth shut." So she was saying, "Look, I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to end up like him." Okay.
Yeah.
And so that tells you, but so everybody knew that. But what there's more things involved there because not just you know the sodomy, but also. You know, people dying. Remember, Obama went to visit his grandmother in the hospital, and she had come out, and she had said that she was there in Kenya. She was there when Obama was born. She was there. And after she had made that statement, she ended up at room temperature. And then, remember, what's the comedian, Joan Rivers, where she had mentioned about Michelle being Big Mike, being trans, and all of a sudden she's at room temperature. So it's something to think about. Let's go back and...
Sounds kind of like the Clinton story there in Arkansas, Arkansides.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it's a little too similar for me for comfort.
Yeah, with the Clintons, it was an everyday, almost an everyday experience. And Hillary was known as the Black Widow. But anyhow... All right. Mark in Ohio pledges 100. Thank you, Mark. 888-281-1110. 888-677-9674. Guys, we're going to go back to the clip. Listen carefully, fellas, because we're going to do some commentary afterwards. Take us back, Seth.
Widely known in D.C. and really in broader America at this point that Obama was a degenerate homosexual, or is, and leads a life of homosexuality. I mean, you subscribe to that theory, correct?
I believe he's a homosexual. I never saw him. I never seen pictures, never saw texts. But what happened was I started – there were people – I worked in the White House stenographer's office in the Bush years and also in the Trump years and also in the Obama years. And when I started with Joe Biden, a guy who was in our office named Tomas became romantically involved with Michelle Obama's – designer, the woman who picked out her outfits. and her name was Meredith. Well, he would go to special parties with her as her date. He came back from one of Michelle Obama's birthday parties, and I said, how was it? You know, there's all these luminaries there. He said, oh, it was really cool. I met Paul McCartney. And then he said, and I didn't ask him to say this. He just volunteered. It was all so fake, Mike. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, it was all so fake. I go, what do you mean? It's a corporate marriage? He goes, yeah. So this is 2011 when I first started as a White House stenographer for Joe Biden. And at that point, I knew that what the Obamas have, and a lot of it is in a lot of politics, people have a marriage that isn't what it seems. And that's what I understood. And what I next saw, I started seeing evidence that when Barack Obama traveled to Chicago, he set his campaign office up in Chicago. His wife and daughters wouldn't go with him. And he'd be there at least twice a month, maybe more, and sometimes over the weekend. But Michelle and the girls wouldn't go with him. And that was their Chicago home. He didn't stay at a hotel there. He stayed at his house. He owned a house there. So why would he do that? It didn't make sense to me. So then these things started falling into line, and I was like, well, maybe there's something going on there. And then eventually I heard of one of the press covered for Obama. They covered and they never asked. They flew on the plane with him. No one ever asked, why isn't Michelle and the girls here? Obama did a big trip to California in 2013 in June to meet the new president of China, Xi Jinping. Xi Jinping brought his wife, Madam Xi. And there was questions. Why didn't Barack Obama bring Michelle? He came out to California, but Michelle didn't come. And there was a sort of a formal agreement or, you know, kind of a tradition. The wives meet when the husbands meet. And it didn't happen. Why was that? So these are all elements in a line that kind of kept telling me there's something about Barack Obama and Michelle. He doesn't want to be with her. And recently there was a book that came out where he kind of had these letters to a girlfriend in college where he talked about wanting to make love to men. He had dreams of wanting to have gay love. And so it just sort of fell in place. And the fact is, I don't care if he's gay. I have gay friends. I have gay family members. There's prominent people who are gay in the country and in the world that I admire. I don't care. That's their business. But if it's being used as leverage to give Joe Biden access to the White House, and he's a bad guy, and he is a bad guy, that's where we have to talk about it, and that's what I'm talking about right now.
For a long time, we have seen these Hollywood/corporate marriages for, you know, high-profile individuals. You know, we're seeing a relationship now that's certainly not authentic between Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, for example, Prince Harry and this Markle mixed-race woman who, you know, left the monarchy and all of this other stuff. I mean, the list goes on and on with this, and I do care that Barack Obama is a homosexual for the single reason that, first of all, we're a Christian country, and homosexuality is anti-Christian, and I don't think that the leader of a Christian country should be, you know, operating in blatant sin like this with a homosexual degenerative lifestyle. But to your point about using this as a weapon, to your point about, you know, Joe Biden being an evil person and using this, yeah, this is the exact blackmail, Mossad type, Jeffrey Epstein, bribery, you know, threatening, real dark, shadowy, murderous, you know, corporate crime syndicate that has its grip on American politics. You were right there. I mean, is this like... this is a dirty place. This is a cesspit. This is where people go to get their soul snatched out of them, this Washington, D.C. Is this something that's like regular throughout all levels of our government where there's just this evil feeling of corruption that just runs rampant through D.C.?
You know, that's a really good question, Stu. I worked in the White House from 2002 to 2018. And every day I walked in there, I was proud to be there as an American. One of the best times in my day was walking out of the White House and seeing the giant flag over the White House, because it just made me realize how important it was to work there and how important the work we did there. There is a dark side to Washington. There is a dark side to politics, but there's also a lot of good. There's good people that protect our country. There's good people that are in law enforcement to protect the laws and rules of our country. And then there's some dark people that take advantage of good people. They work their way into the White House when I was there. I don't know what George Bush's dark side is. Barack Obama certainly has one, and so did Joe Biden. I worked with Vice President Pence
And well, George Bush is, I mean, the guy's a mass murderer. We saw what happened in Iraq. And
yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, as a president. But, you know, I don't know if there's a personal dark side that quite to the extent that I know of Joe Biden's. There's no laptop for George Bush. That's the key to this whole thing, is this Biden laptop came out. And we really got a view into how ugly and corrupt it is.
Who do you think is running Joe Biden right now? Because certainly he's not running the country.
You know, I get asked that a lot, and my answer surprises people. I think he's running himself. I think he's that evil. I think his advisors have been loyal to him for so long. The Blinkens, the Sullivans, there's two guys, Mike and Tom Donilon. There's a guy named Ted Kaufman. They've been with him for decades, and they wanted this rise to the presidency. His family is a big part of it. I think Hunter is in there getting advice from his aunt Val, Joe's sister. She's been a big part of the family political dark side for a long time. And of course, Jill, she's part of it. So they have this inner core, but I think Joe still is the lead dog of the inner core. I don't think he's just pushed around. And I think he's the puppet master more than the puppet of Barack Obama. There is a connection there. It's like a gang, and the gangsters are now antagonizing each other, almost at war with each other. And behind the scenes, you also got the Clintons in the White House, the Clintons in Washington. So there's a lot of Democratic inter-party conflict right now.
And I'm having a hard time digesting that Joe Biden is running anything. I mean, he can't even run to the bathroom. He just poops in his pants on an international stage. He has to be helped and handheld by Jill, Dr. Jill, to come down just one step. And then he gets separated and he just aimlessly wanders along. I mean, you saw the debate. It's no secret that he's a man that's right. In serious cognitive decline. How can he be running anything?
I think it's the way his advisors hear what he says. I think it's the loyalty they have for him. And they disseminate that through the White House. You know, Jeff Zients is a White House chief of staff. He's not a Biden guy. So he's not really making the decisions. It's either there's a guy named Steve Ricchetti who's very involved behind the scenes. I think a guy like Steve Ricchetti will be in a meeting with Joe Biden. He'll get the word and he'll pass it on to Zients. I think there's a cabal of senior advisors that have been running the country with Joe Biden, and they kind of interpret how he thinks. I mean, they've been with him so long. They can interpret what he wants.
In an honest and free and fair election, I mean, do you really believe that Joe Biden could beat Donald Trump?
No.
Yeah.
He didn't beat him in 2020. He won't beat him in 2024.
We agree with all of that. So that's a point that we absolutely, 100%. We've heard rumors that a lot of people inside of Biden's, you know, inner circle are threatening to leave if he stays in this race because of his cognitive decline and because of all the shadowy nonsense that's happening in the White House. Have you heard anything about that? Can you attest any truth to that?
No, and I don't think he leaves. I think he's going to fight this to the bitter end. What I do think he could do is, as the president, he can the vice president serves the pleasure of the president. He can switch out Kamala Harris for Hillary Clinton. He can make a deal behind the scenes where he says, Hillary is going to be my vice president. We've got a new ticket. Vote for me and Hillary. And behind the scenes, he says, Hillary, as soon as I get reelected, I'm going to retire for, you know, health reasons, and you can be president and you pick the vice president. So then that puts all the Clinton side of Washington sort of moving to help him stay in there.
Yeah.
And it ices out the Obama side.
I've thought about that quite a bit as well. How exactly are they going to pull this off? As the president of the United States, and as dark and shadowy, keep using that word, but that's really what it is, as corrupt as Washington is, and as specifically Biden is, he could also pull some strings to maybe take a shot at Donald Trump because he knows that he can't win. We just saw what happened on Saturday last week. So I wouldn't put it past any of these people to be shooting at President Trump.
I hope it doesn't happen again. That was a terrible thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I got a little bit to add to that. The head of the FBI communications division is a woman named Catherine Milhoan. She used, before she was the FBI communications director, she was a Secret Service communications director. And in my opinion, she is acting as though she was an operative for Joe Biden. So if they were going to make a move at a significant move and use the FBI and the Secret Service as the agencies to investigate that significant move, she's in charge of how that move gets explained to America. And I think that needs to be looked into.
Yeah, well, we will look into that. I appreciate that, Mike. Thank you so much. Where can people find your writings, by the way?
I'm on Twitter, at Joe Unauthorized, and my Substack is Midnight in the Laptop of Good and Evil. Midnight in the Laptop of Good and Evil. My book, The Case to Impeach and Imprison Joe Biden, is on Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
All right, we are back. And so what do you guys think about that, John and Joe? You know, first of all, I mean, everybody knew with, that Obama was a sodomite. With, I mean, we talked about that. You had even the so-called Reverend Wright. What he was doing was, you know, looking for potential black leaders that were homosexuals. Why do you think they wanted to choose homosexuals? There was a specific reason for that, John, Joe.
I think you can control them, Pastor Ernie. You know, that they do what you tell them, otherwise they're exposed.
Well, that's bottom line there too. But now here was, but what do you think about Biden? See, I remember I had a run with Joe Biden. You know how he talks about how he's going to take President Trump behind,
and everybody out behind the barn.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I had a run in with him. In the Russell Building, I was walking down the hallway. The hallway, you know, was, we know how long that hallway was, and there was nobody in the hallway. I got about halfway down, and I was going to see, I believe at that time it was Senator Voinovich, and all of a sudden the door opened just as I'm walking right next to me on the right-hand side, and Biden steps out. He comes over, he stops, he says, hello, and he puts his hand down, he said, I'm Senator Biden, and he stands to the left of me, where he belonged, okay, and so he said, what are you doing here? And I, you know, I introduced myself, and it's Pastor Sanders, and I told him, I'm down here, we're taking part in some pro-life activities, and that's when he said, well, you know, not everybody's pro-life. I said, God is, and he started walking faster, and I was walking faster. I said, God, you know, says abortion is murder, okay? He's walking faster, and he said, well, he said, you know, people have different opinions and going on that, and, you know, and I told him, you know, you're pro-life or low-life? And by this time, he was in a flat-out run. I mean, he ran in a flat-out run, and he ran to the end, and he got in an elevator, and I thought, you know, he didn't, but I actually expected him to kind of stick his tongue out at me or something, you know, like a child, but he did. He got in that elevator, and he hit that button quickly. He didn't want any more conversation, so he didn't prove to impress me at being a real brave, bold man, right?
Well, I've noticed in life the people that talk the most usually are the ones that we call it Bravo Sierra, you know.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, usually it's they don't walk the walk; they just talk the talk.
For folks out there, Bravo Sierra is BS. All right, anyhow, Joe pledges 300. Carmen in Connecticut pledges 100. Felicia in New York pledges 100. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, 888-281-1110. 888-677-9673. The FBI is where evidence goes to die.
Yeah. They're going to be the ones investigating this shooter. You know, this last clip you played talked about, you know, somebody wanting to go after Trump again. To me, I was so worried about that last shooting because everything I've seen and everything I know, leaving a rooftop like that, the rooftop was too steep. You know, that was the head of the Secret Service. Well, we didn't have somebody that was too steep. That wasn't a steep rooftop for crime. I mean, there isn't any truth on all the stuff coming out. It was either the biggest group of errors, you know, leading to this, incompetence, errors, lack of planning, or it was a real attempt to get rid of Trump, one of the two, and heads should roll, people should be fired,
And just hopefully people around Trump are going to take a whole new look at things and try and cover him from a different way, because never should have happened.
The Secret Service snipers had the same type of roof. They were on the same type of roof.
They had a worse roof. They had a steeper roof than the one that the sniper was on, and they said it was too steep to have anybody on it.
Yeah.
I've looked at that roof. I'm not supposed to be up on roofs. Mine's steeper than that, and I got up and fixed my satellite dish on a roof steeper than that and walked around and worked on it. So if I can do it at my age and I'm not supposed to be on a roof, a young, healthy Secret Service or police officer should have been up there.
Absolutely. Be back right after this with more. Don't go away. More to come.
And now, the end is near. If you're not saved, then you're hurting. It's him that you should fear, and that's the truth, I know for certain. He gave me life that's eternal. He kept me from going astray. He's God, and this I know, He did it His way. Regrets, he's had none. Not even one that I can mention. He saved you and I. He brought us through without exemption. Planned each charted course, a guiding light along the pathway. For sure, not more or less, he did it his way. Throughout ancient times, I know it's true. Never anything that he couldn't do. My faith in him, never was any doubt. What he said, he carried out. All in all, as I recall, he did it his way. He lived, he suffered and died, but he arose in power and glory. In him, I now abide, for history is just his story. His word is where life's at. And may I say, not in a shy way, oh no, no, not me, he did it his way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not his reward, then he has not. A broken heart, he can heal. And in his word, the truth revealed. His word shows what we all know. He did it his way. A broken heart, he can heal. And in his word, the truth revealed. His word shows what we all know. He
did it his way.
He did it his way, folks. From the very beginning, he's doing it his way now. I'm going to tell you, see, the thing of it is God, in the end, is always gets his way. And those people that stand up and push back against God, you know, I mean, you actually have a society out there today that has the mindset that God has to understand the times are changing. Well, no, God doesn't have to understand anything. You're the one that has to understand and that God never changes. And what I'm going to tell you,
apparently, God is immutable. The word is immutable.
Absolutely. He's the same today, tomorrow, forever, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Does he get things right every time?
99.9. No, 100%.
100%. Yeah, because anything that's in his mind that he wants, it happens exactly how, when, and where he wants it. I mean, that's perfection.
In Hebrews 13, verse 17, you know, it's sweet. We keep telling people over and over and over and over, and the Bible tells them to listen to us because we're doing it. We're telling them for their own good and their own future. And I hope people pay attention. Mike Benz, if the FBI is where evidence goes to die, they're mop-up men for crimes of the state. They have been for a century now, but particularly in the last 20 years, it is so gross as to basically when they make us never believe something until the FBI officially denies it. This is a situation where they made a formal determination. It was a lone gunman before the night was even over. They made their conclusion before they started the investigation. Then the fact that there was not a single social media post. Now, over 100 hours since the event took place, not a single X post, Facebook post, Instagram post, Reddit post. You don't just get the idea to assassinate the President of the United States without something so extreme that it tilts the entire world on its axis, unless you have some community you're interacting with that has encouraged you, goading you on, or radicalizing you. And my concern is that the FBI, who was at the shooter's house, the killer's house, mind you, this man murdered Corey Comparator, a hero firefighter, protecting his daughter. So the murderer and the would-be assassin of President of the United States, this person was obviously following people online, communicating with the people online. Well, here, let me ask you a question. Here's what I don't know. They said they found him by his DNA, but he never had no record or anything. So how did the FBI have his DNA if this guy had not been implicated in any kind of an investigation prior to that?
Well, unless he was one of their agent provocateurs. You know, unless he was working for the FBI and they required the DNA, otherwise it's not true.
What if he was a Manchurian candidate in what they call a remote? That's what they refer.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we know the news came out a couple places, Gateway Pundit, and a couple other websites where this guy had two different cell phones. He had three encrypted overseas accounts. And if you take a quick look at them, they said a lot more information will be available Monday about those overseas accounts and different things. So there's a lot more to this story. Think about it. I mean, why would you have an encrypted overseas account at his age when you're not in business, you're not dealing with overseas trade, anything like that? Cell phone and bomb detonator there in his bedroom. There's so much more to this story. They're always very good at hiding the truth from us. How many times has it been years and years before the truth comes out in a story? We've seen this in our lifetime. How many times?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. you know, the very thought of the FBI investigating this, you know, is a joke. Is you talk about the.
And back to that shooting, it was I just cannot believe that, you know, 130 yards away there was an open rooftop, that people saw this guy with a gun, saw him with a ladder, climbing up a ladder, and they left Trump on stage. Somebody didn't make a quick call and say, get him off stage, there's a problem. I mean, that, an Army corporal would have had the brains to shut down the, you know, the operation at that point, right?
No. If you are a Secret Service sniper and you're on the roof watching a fellow point the gun, point a rifle at the President of the United States, how long do you wait before you fire?
You don't. Before that rifle's even pointed, if it looks like it's going in that direction, nobody belongs on a roof in the middle of a speech like that, a rally like that with important dignitaries with a sniper rifle where they're not supposed to be, you take them out.
Exactly. And so I'm going to wonder, because Monday they're supposed to have these hearings, and I'd like to see them bring these guys in. I'm sure that eventually they'll bring the snipers in and find out, what were you told? Why were you told to stand down, okay, until you had, you know, that the whole point that they were there, what meant, you know, they were not to wait for permission.
Right, they were trained to make those decisions. They know what their rules of engagement are. They were told what, if this happens, you may act on your own. I mean, this is, right, Big John, that's standard operating procedure, that they have their own rules of engagement.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a gray area in there, but generally speaking, I mean, you see a sniper taking a position for a clear shot at the president. I mean, that's the, you've got the protocols are in place to shoot to kill.
Yeah, that would be, I mean, that's just, yeah.
Well, here's the other strange thing. You got two supposedly Secret Service snipers. Now they're saying maybe they weren't Secret Service, they were local police or somebody from the, what do you call it? Department of
Homeland Security,
yeah.
The intelligence section.
So they're putting out, you know, that, you know, they're putting this stuff out. You don't know if they were Secret Service or not. Secret Service are professionals. They would know how to handle this. But anyhow, but here you've got these two. Okay, so they're looking right at a sniper with a gun, and one of them is laying down, getting him in sights, and the other guy stands up.
Yeah.
Right, and so you're looking, right now you're up on this roof, and here's a fellow who's out there. You know he's a sniper. He's got a gun with a scope and a rangefinder and all of that stuff. And you stand up and you make yourself a target. Why would you do that unless you knew that you wouldn't be a target? Why would you do that? Something, you know.
Most of us wouldn't. The only thing he might say, I was trying to get a better, you know, view, but that doesn't even explain it, because he had a good enough view just in a crouched position. So that's weird. It just not, it's hinky. Doesn't make sense, right, John?
Tanya in Texas pledges 300. Big Tony in Ohio pledges 50. Thank you, Tano. Thank you to Big Tony. 888, folks, we have 16 minutes left tonight.
And we are miles behind.
Yeah, we really need to hear from you tonight. I only have 16 minutes left. The phones are going to shut off exactly at midnight. 888-281-1110. That's the credit card number. 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. We definitely got to hear from you.
Well, let me read a Bible verse. It kind of fits what we need tonight. It's in Deuteronomy 5:29. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. That verse covers what we need to do today for this election, how we're supposed to live as Christians, and it really pertains to donating to the ministry, because
What did God command us to do? Run to the battle, stand in the gap, fight the good fight of faith, rebuke the enemy, reprove, rebuke, give our witness and testimony. All these things that he has told us to do, Pastor Ernie, you've been doing for 50 years, and John and I, ever since we started working with you, have been doing the same, following and being obedient to all those things that the Lord has told us to do. I take it when the Lord tells me to do something, I take that as a commandment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Nancy, this pledge is 50. Thank you, Nancy. All right, folks, we're running down. We now have 14 minutes left. 888-281-1110. 888-677-9673. John, you've had your blog for a long time. You've been on a lot of radio programs, too. Both you guys have been across the country. Have you ever been on the radio program that, when it comes to compromise, does no compromising at all at this radio program?
Well, Pastor Ernie, absolutely no compromise. I'd like to say a little things here about the show to encourage people to help support. Last week, we were talking, and we were talking about the political climate here, and we warned on your show that Trump was in danger.
Yep.
That there was the deep state were cornered, and they made a move to take them out. That was Friday night, and Saturday. It was not many radio shows, I don't think, say that this. I mean, we were bold. It had to be said because it was true.
Right.
And you don't hold back here.
Well, just listen to the chatter and we let the folks know. Joe, you know what? We're down to 5 minutes. Joe, can you give an invitation in 5 minutes, Joe?
I sure can. I want to just back up what Big John said. We've been out there, you know, not compromising, telling it the way it is. And I think we were one of the first radio programs to bring up to people, this is a spiritual battle. Underneath everything, it is a spiritual battle. And that is not said near often enough in this country. I wanted to just remind folks there's a hymn I'd like to read a little from for close. There is a fountain filled with blood. The title is There is a Fountain, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. And now I'm going to skip to the last verse. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. Yes, our Lord came. He came to what? To be the Savior of the world. He came to die a substitutionary death, to die in my place, in John's place, Pastor Ernie's place, your place. And he shed the most precious substance in the universe, his blood, the blood of the one and only Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, the Savior, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And he gave us a gift of eternal life, but we have to do something to obtain that gift. We have to accept him as Lord and Savior, and before we can do that, we have to call upon his Father. And we have to call upon God and confess that our sins put his Son on that cross, because they did. If there was only one of us, he'd have gone to that cross to save us. But his blood was shed for the remission of sins for many, many who would accept his offer. And if we go with a repentant heart to the Father, we can be forgiven. We will be forgiven. But we have to remember Romans 5:8-9, but God commanded his love toward us, and that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath, the wrath of God, through him. Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. What that means is no remission of sin. Without that shed blood, our sins cannot be erased, our sins cannot be forgiven. I remember somebody, when I was a child, said it was like God has a giant eraser. When we confess our sins and accept Jesus as our Savior, God can't forget, so he takes his giant eraser and erases our sins like they never happened. So, what do? You have a choice to make. Do you want to spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell? You call upon that Father, you confess those sins, and then you can ask Jesus Christ to be Lord, your Lord, Lord of all your life. But you have to do it without reservation. You have to do it without trying to make deals. Just accept him. Make him first in life. Everything else second. And when you do that, he will accept you as a child, a son or daughter of God himself, a joint heir with Jesus in everlasting life. He will make you a new creation, a new creature. How? By the indwelling. He will give you the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God to dwell in you. Your body then becomes really a temple. You house the living God. You have a direct communication with Jesus, and he has the direct line to God. Jesus said, I am in the Father in me, and I am in you. That's why you actually become a child of the kingdom, son or daughter. And that's the greatest thing that can ever happen to you, but it's a decision only you can make. You have to believe that he is the Savior, that he died for you for the remission of your sins, and you have to accept the offer he's made you. And if you do that, you'll become this new creature. Your life will be full of joy and peace. The scripture says peace that passes all understanding. I never understood it, but I found peace. Great peace and courage and faith. But you must do it. Nobody can do it for you. You can't get it by living a good life, donating money, going to church. You have to do it by confessing your sins to the Father and being what Jesus called being born again spiritually, becoming that spiritual creature. Do it today. You may not have a tomorrow.
Absolutely. Do it today. Nothing ever, you'll never do anything, never could do anything that'll mean as much. Ruth and New York pledges 1,000. Thank you, Ruth.
A match. Wonderful.
We'll be here for 5 minutes, folks. So, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Good night. God bless it. Always, always, always.
Keep.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Cleveland at 95.5 The Fish present the Faith and Fellowship Cruise, August 13th.